mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn your attention with me to the word of the Lord through the Apostle Paul as it is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our sufficiency is from God, who has qualified us to be ministers of a new covenant, not in a written code, but in the Spirit. For the written code kills, but the Spirit gives life. My dear Christian friends, fellow members of the community of Concordia Seminary, our chief goal as Concordia Seminary, to which all else is ancillary, could be set forth by quoting all the citations of Holy Scripture which comprise the doctrine of the Holy Ministry, and then saying, for that office, we prepare men. With that doctrine informing us, we do state the major function of Concordia Seminary in our academic catalog with a list of 7 attitudes, understandings, and commitments to which we seek to lead students to equip them for the pastoral ministry. But perhaps our purpose finds its best terse expression by our synod stating as one of the prerequisites for the ordination of our graduates that each must have been endorsed by the faculty through its declaration that he is qualified in every respect for the office of the ministry of word and sacrament in the church. Qualified, adequate, sufficient, competent, fit. Some would say that our synod has indulged in abstract idealism which cannot be translated into reality. That such a statement of purpose is impertinent, perfectionist, unattainable, an inexcusable artifice which must be set aside quickly and completely. Others would say that the same expression is an irreducible minimum. One valid way to express divine expectation and requirement for the pastoral office. A goal altogether attainable by the grace of God. And that is what we are saying, institutionally, synodically. But attitudes among us toward the achievement of such a goal may vary from egotism to egoism to ill-founded confidence to well-founded confidence to tenuous confidence to pessimism to defeatism. We need to slough off the divergences on either extreme of that listing till we are left, each of us, with the possession of a well-founded confidence. The scriptures brought to our attention this morning help us to that end. In the lesson, Acts chapter 21, verses 15 to 26, Paul demonstrated his sufficiency for ministry by wisely distinguishing between doctrine and adiaphoron and showing that one may use an adiaphoron in support of gospel proclamation in some situations, even though the opposite judgment may be necessary in others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, Paul asserts the basis for a well-founded confidence. It is a confidence rooted in the certainty of salvation, for one has it through Christ. From God. Even though a person is convicted as Paul was and we must be. By the holy law of God, which scores the sinfulness both in substance and in motivation of all our self-produced internal and external actions, even though a person knows that God's counting of iniquities allows no man to stand, and that the sinning soul must die the death of eternal separation from God, that same person can know and trust by the Holy Spirit's giving and sustaining of faith through word and sacrament that Christ Jesus, in fulfillment of promise, came to save sinners, that the God-man took upon himself the iniquity of us all, that the risen Christ covers us with his righteousness, in which we stand before the Heavenly Father for time and for eternity. That is the certainty which Paul had by the grace of God, which we can have and profess to have by the grace of God. Changeless certainty, all wrapped up in God's promises and fulfillments of promises. Now, having the certainty of salvation in the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul asserted his confidence in his apostolic ministry of the gospel because there was no fitness for ministry nor goodness of ministry coming from himself. But God qualified him to be a minister and continually worked in him the gift of ministerial capability and competence, sufficiency and fitness. He had had both an immediate call from God and an immediate call from a Christian congregation to confirm him in that confidence. A seminarian, certain of his salvation, rightly finds himself moving toward a possible certainty for pastoral ministry. All of you have come here with a sense of inner or immediate call with varying degrees of tentative certainty. God's guidance of your lives and labors here causes your sense of inner call to grow or to recede. But finally, God will give you a well-rounded and fully founded confidence for pastoral ministry by working through his church to bring you an immediate call for which you become eligible by the faculty's endorsement by a congregation's extending a call which delegates the selection of its pastor to the Synod's Board of Assignment, to whom you are remanded for placement into the ministerium of the church. But in all this, you have a role too. As surely as God works through human effort to achieve conversions, we would recall 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So surely does God also use the effort of men to achieve qualifications for the pastoral ministry. We would recall 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15. Study. Do your best. Make every effort to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling, dividing the word of truth. Brethren, make that effort. Trust in the Lord. Amen.